Tonight I want to talk to you about damaged. Somebody say damaged. Okay, so most of you know, have a general idea about what the word damaged is. Hey, let me take just a second and say I'm so glad to see Samantha Davenport. She was in a really serious car wreck today and kind of endowed the whole thing and at high enough speed. And I'm so glad you're okay. And made it out with nothing but a torn fingernail, right? So I love you. But I'm not surprised because of your involvement in what's going on this weekend. And so when you're doing things for the kingdom of God, Satan puts the crosshairs on you and he wants to try to pick on your soft spot. And I know, Daddy, that's your little girl. He don't, does he? The blood is stronger. So props to y'all for praying over your babies. And I know that Samantha was listening to Lauren Daigle. And what were you listening to? Trust me? Trust in him. And that Anna loves that. So, you know, even when your car's upside down and you're hanging from the seatbelt, Jesus is still Lord. So, love you. I'm glad you're okay. Damaged. Somebody say damaged. Okay, let me give you the definition of damaged tonight. Damaged means to inflict physical harm on something so as to impair its value. So if I damage something, I reduce its value. Or usefulness or normal function. So something that's damaged, its value is decreased, its usefulness is decreased, and its normal function is decreased. It means to be injured, to be hurt, or to be broken. Let me ask you a question tonight. How many of you know someone who's damaged? Think about that. Many of you in this room tonight. When a person is damaged, they feel like their value has been decreased. They don't see themselves as useful, even though God says, I created each of you for a purpose and according to my plan. They don't feel like they're able to function normally. They're injured, they're hurt, or they're broken. And so tonight I want to talk to you about this because it's critical, as we've been talking about discovering your destiny, that we identify this because we live in a society full of damaged people. I know there was a time in my life where I was severely damaged. Autumn can testify, yeah, he was damaged from the start. But you know, damaged people, this is my point tonight, damaged people make damaging decisions. Just kind of go with me tonight. Damaged people make damaging decisions. A damaging decision is a decision that inflicts physical harm on someone or impairs their value or impairs their usefulness or impairs their ability to function normally. In other words, we believe that hurting people hurt people. We believe that angry people are angry with people. We believe loving people love people. So damaged people many times, whether intentionally or most of the time unintentionally, what do? They damage other people. And here's what happens, y'all. When we see ourselves as damaged, because life can be rough. How many of you can say life has been a little bit rough on me? Amen? I mean, we've got stories, right? You know my story. I know many of your stories. I mean, none of us gets out of this thing without scars, but praise God, we all come out of it through the resurrection. You can get back up. Amen? But here's the thing. When we are damaged, there's three D's that we really use against ourselves, and that's number one, that we disqualify ourselves. Somebody say disqualify. We take ourselves out of the race. We make decisions that penalize ourselves. We exclude ourselves. And what happens is when we do that, then God speaks to us because we're talking about discovering your destiny. And if I disqualify myself and I believe hurting people hurt people and damage people, then I've got to believe that if disqualified people disqualify people. And so what I'm saying to you there is when I disqualify myself by my attitudes, by my actions, by the things I do because I feel like my value has been reduced and decreased, I'm not able to function normally, then what I do is I disqualify God's word in my life. Disqualified people disqualify people. Make sense? Are you with me? Okay. So what a person who sees themselves as damaged does is they disqualify what God says to them. They say, well, that's for Linda, but that's certainly not for me. And we disqualify ourselves. And then we begin to make decisions that disqualify us from God's best. Why? Because we see ourselves as damaged. We see ourselves as broken. We see ourselves as lacking value. The second D there after disqualify is we discredit ourselves. Somebody say discredit. When I discredit a person, I'm taking away from their reputation. I'm attacking their reputation. Well, Satan is constantly doing that with us. Jason Crabb did a great job talking about how the deceiver constantly is attacking the image of God in us and marring it. But what happens is we discredit ourselves. We begin to attack our own reputation. I don't know about you, but that tape that plays in my head so much of the time is so negative. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, that voice in your head that just, for lack of better words, forgive me if you're a Pharisee tonight, but it's constantly saying, you suck. Right? Constantly. You suck. You suck. You suck at everything you do. You're no good. You think you're the only one that with that playing in your head? Can I tell you, the majority of Sundays I walk out of here, I got that playing in my head. And I say, you're a liar. Okay, so what happens is when we receive that, when we see ourselves as damaged, then we begin to discredit ourselves. And when we discredit ourselves, then we inadvertently discredit God. Because how can I accept Him when I don't even accept me? Is this making sense? So we disqualify ourselves, we discredit ourselves, and then watch this, we discount ourselves. Somebody say discount. And when you go to a discount store, it's something that has experienced a reduction, right? Walmart called it a rollback. Y'all know. Woody's like, don't you ever say Walmart in his church again. This is the Lord's altar. How dare you? Give a shameless plug for Woody's Country Store, the best meat around, and you can get Chinese throwing stars there too. I tell you what, they are the best subs in the world. I got on that about 6 months ago and tried telling about it and ended up clear off somewhere else. But anyway, discount. We discount ourselves. In other words, we reduce our own value. Well, God has set a value on you that can never be changed. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. The price He was willing to pay for you has never changed. So that means your value has never changed. You cannot sell your soul to the devil because he didn't pay the highest price. Your soul goes to the highest bidder. Fair enough? And so what we do is when we discount ourselves, then we begin to discount God. We begin to focus more on our mountain than on our maker. And we begin to discount His power in our life. And what we do is dumb down God. We dumb down His power. We dumb down His presence. We dumb down all those things to fit our tiny little box because we feel like we're damaged and we don't deserve any better. And I watch people live this life feeling that they're not worth God's best. And so what they do is they begin to make decisions that don't lead them towards what they want. They lead them towards Satan just absolutely devouring their life, and they feel like that's what they have to accept. And maybe that's you tonight. You want something better, but you feel like you don't deserve it. You can't even get up the strength to even reach out for it because you feel like you are discounted, discredited, disqualified, and damaged. And yet I want to say to you tonight, you don't have to make damaging decisions anymore. And we've got to get you healthy and we've got to get you whole. And tonight I want to show you how it's done. I cannot promise you that it will happen overnight, but I can promise you if you'll be faithful, it will happen over time. I know we want a microwave miracle. I know you want to write a check for $313.33 and buy your commanded Jubilee blessing this year. But can I tell you, God does not operate that way. 3 John verse 2. 3 John verse 2. For the sake of time tonight, if you would just write it down and look it up when you get home. It says, Beloved, this is the Apostle John, I pray that you may prosper. I pray that you may prosper. His desire was that they prosper, the believers prosper. Somebody say prosper. In how many things? How many things? How many areas of life? How many of their relationships? In all things and be in health. Just as your what? Somebody say soul. As your soul what? Prosperous. Now, the word prosper means to help on the road. God has called us to a path. He's called us to walk with Him. Living for Christ is about more than a moment, about more than a prayer, about more than a decision. It's about daily taking one step after another to walk with Jesus. I'm so glad to see my friends Garrett and Brittany back tonight. They were here for the first time Sunday. Y'all give them a hand. Love you guys. So good to see you tonight. And, you know, we repay God by living our decision for Christ one day at a time. Now, prosper means to flourish, to grow, to thrive, to do well, to get on. Somebody say, get on. Well, some of the reason why people don't get on with their life is because they're not prospering. Okay? So here's the thing. As I was chewing on this, I began to ask the question, could it be that so many believers do not enjoy a consistent level of kingdom living, spiritual, physical, relational, emotional, mental, and financial success because they're not prospering in their souls? Because he said, I pray that above all things you may prosper as your soul prospers. So if we read 2 John, 3 John verse 2 backwards, it says, as your soul prospers, may you be in health and prosper in all things. In other words, if our soul is not prospering, we cannot prosper. If I'm not prospering mentally, emotionally, and in my decision making, then I cannot prosper anywhere else. My attitude comes from my soul. Somebody say soul. In other words, my approach to life, my outlook on life, my decision making comes from my soul. Somebody say soul. And decisions determine your destiny. In other words, my life is a product of the choices I have made to this point. My emotional state comes from my soul. Somebody say soul. Emotional instability can ruin our lives, our health, our relationship, and our opportunities if we allow it to. So there's a critical connection that I need you to make tonight, and it's simply this. There's a connection between the prosperity of my soul and my success in this life. In other words, when I prosper in my soul, we begin to prosper everywhere else. That's why Jesus said in Luke 21:19, by your patience, possess your souls. He said, I want you to take possession of your soul. Again, 3 John 2. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. To be in health means to be well. Somebody say, I can be well. And in Jesus' name I am. It means to be whole. Somebody say, I can be whole. And in Jesus' name I am. It means to be safe and sound. Somebody say, I can be safe and sound. And in Jesus' name I am. It's talking about bringing you to a place in your life where God brings you to nothing missing and nothing broken, where it's just as if sin had never happened, just as if Satan had never attacked. God's plan B can always be better than anything we had as plan A. And even though we started life our way and were born into sin, when I was born again, all that was gone and old things pass away and all things become new. And I become a new creature in Christ Jesus from the inside out. And so John's prayer is for the physical and spiritual health of these believers. If we are not prospering, church, in our soul, then it affects every area of our life. Can I tell you tonight that America is sick in her soul? America is desperately soul sick. As a nation, we are dependent on mental and emotional medication. We are even medicating our will, our power to choose. The children and adults who cannot control their behavior, we medicate them into obedience. And we find the same issues in the lives of many believers. And I don't say that today as condemnation, but I say it as a point that there is an issue in society and God has the answer. And tonight we're going to take a look at what that answer is. God has a better alternative for you than living your life damaged. It's called living your life redeemed. Can you say amen? So there's something within our soul so much of the time that causes distress, and it's like drinking poison. It's eating us alive from the inside out. However, Jesus died on the cross not just to forgive you of your sins and punch your get out of hell ticket. Right? He died to redeem every part of you, spirit, soul, and body. Your body is not a duplex, and neither is your mind or emotions. God's not sharing his kids on the weekends with the devil. He bought all of you. You are not your own. You've been bought at a price. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 in the Message says, may God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole. Holy and whole. Say, I am holy and I am whole. Make you holy and whole. Put you together. Why would he need to put us together unless we had been broken? Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Y'all know the rest. Make you holy and whole. Put you together. Watch. Spirit. What's the next one? Soul and three parts to who you are. They are? One more time. Spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit and your soul are not the same. Your Bible makes that abundantly clear. Three parts to who you are. There is more to me than what you see. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and they live in a body. My body is what you've become the most familiar with and what you see all the time. But this is nothing more than a shell, just like the clothes I'm wearing. It's an earth suit. It is the tent I live in temporarily while I'm traveling through this earth as a pilgrim. Okay? Fair enough. Very important. So what is our soul? Our soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. It's my mind. It's my will. My will is what gives me the ability to choose. The choices I make is what it deals with. And it's my emotions. We get whipped there a lot. My mind is the place where I think, evaluate, reflect. My will is the place where I decide and make conscious choices. My emotions is where I feel. God wants you to feel and experience the world around you. It's where my desires are. I have various moods. Okay? The soul is the control center of man. Now, the Bible talks about the saving of the soul, separate from the spirit. James chapter 1, verse 21. Now, this is the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what he says. He says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, the implanted word, the implanted word. What kind of word? What kind of word? Implanted word. Okay, just like a seed. Can you grow a seed when it's out of the soil? Okay, the word must be planted, which is able, somebody say able, to save your souls. What is the word able to do? What is the word able to do? To save which part of you, spirit, soul, or body? It's talking here specifically about your soul. Your soul is your mind, I'll give you a jump start, your will and your emotions. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So the Word of God specifically has the power to save my soul, to save my mind, my will, and my emotions. Watch this. You must understand that when you were born again, your spirit was made new, not your soul. Just be a bobblehead tonight. When you were born again, your spirit was made new, not your soul. Not your mind, not your will, not your emotions. My mind thinks the way it does from the things I've experienced, the things that have formed and shaped my life over the years that I've been alive before I got saved. Okay? To that moment, I was born again. It didn't save my body. My body looks the exact same, Carol, from the time I bow at the cross to the time I get back up, right? My body's the same. My spirit, however, the real me, the substance of God that's inside of me was made new and came to life in that moment God breathed upon me and I was born again, as the Word of God says. But Jesus didn't just pay the price for our spirit. He paid for the redemption of our soul and body too. It's in the package. He didn't leave it out. But I'm explaining to you tonight why it is you've struggled after you get saved. When you were born again, your spirit was saved. Watch this. Your soul, which is your is being saved, and your body, flesh, blood, and bones, will one day be saved. So my spirit was saved when I bowed my knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I came to him at Calvary and called on his name. Amen? My soul is day by day being saved. That's present tense. Salvation of my spirit was past tense when that happened and I was born again. And my body will be saved. That's future tense. So salvation takes place in the past, in the present, and in the future. What happened in the past to my spirit is called justification. Somebody say justification. That's placement. God put me in his presence just as if I'd never sinned. The second one there is my soul, and it's in the process of being saved. That's sanctification. Somebody say sanctification. In other words, that means to be set apart. Daily, he's setting me apart. Daily, that old life is losing its gravitational hold over me. You just keep walking with Jesus, and just like as you leave Earth's surface, the gravitational pull of Earth loses its hold. You keep walking away from temptation and increase the distance between you and it will lose its power to draw you back in. And Jesus will always lead you away from it. And then your body. So we've had justification. I'm walking in sanctification. But when the eastern sky splits and the trumpet blows and the Lord descends from heaven with a shout, then there's going to be glorification because I'm going to be like him and my body's going to be made brand new. And I don't know exactly what that's going to be like, but I know it's going to be just like Jesus. And I do know that he still ate after he was risen from the dead. So hallelujah. You with me? You with me? So the saving of your soul then, the saving of your soul, which is your... The saving of your soul is the process. Not... Bzzzt. He don't zap you in this process. This takes time. The process where we renew our minds on the Word of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. Well, for every day you spent your life before Jesus, that's exactly what happened. The world has squeezed you into its image and your mind. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are you transformed? How are you transformed? By renewing your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, discovering your destiny. I like it in the New Living. Romans 12, 2 says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. I like to hear people say they would do better if they knew better. God's word teaches us to do better, and because we know his will. A major part of experiencing victory in your life living for Christ is changing the way you think. That's exactly what the Word of God does. So, the saving of my soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, the saving of my soul is a daily process involving hearing and obeying God's Word. Fair enough? Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. And 3 in the Amplified says, like newborn babies, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow unto completed salvation. That insinuates that without the Word, I cannot grow into the completion of my salvation. The Word produces growth or prosperity in my life. Remember, we're trying to get to the place where my soul prospers, because when my soul prospers, everything in my life prospers. The Word produces prosperity and growth in my soul. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. You shall be in this book every day and every night, that you may observe to do, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. I told you Sunday, our obedience is not buying you a blessing. It is positioning you for blessing. There is a difference. Jesus bought the blessing, but I got to get into position to receive it. The Word of God positions me for the blessing. For then, you will make your way prosperous. God said, you can make your way prosperous. He didn't say, I'd make your way prosperous. He said, when you're in my word and you follow it, you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. The word produces growth in our life. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Blessed. How many of you want to be blessed? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the word of God, and in his law or his word he meditates. Here it is again. Day and night. He, that person shall be like a tree planted by rivers of living water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does. Does, shall, not might, not it could be, not if, not every once in a while, whatever he does shall prosper. Amen. Stop skipping your devotional time. You can't live off one meal a week. Don't think you can live off coming to church once a week and not cracking the book till I see your beautiful face again. I got to eat. So the word causes growth and prosperity in my life, more specifically in my soul, because it renews my mind, it settles my emotions, and it straightens out my will. I can make some screwy decisions. My emotions can get out of whack. I can think some things and have some imaginations that send me in a direction faster than you can blink. And can I tell you, there's never been an emotion that wasn't preceded by a thought. The fiery darts the enemy shoots against you in Ephesians 6 are suggestive thoughts. So using the shield of faith, I'm able to extinguish them all. Why? Because I've fortified my life with God's thoughts. God's thoughts extinguish Satan's thoughts. Now, spiritual growth then brings deliverance. Now, I know there are several of you that have wrestled with things daily. You're wondering, is this ever going to get better? And this is going to answer the question. There is a reason why some things we break free from instantly and some things we have to walk out of day by day. God is using resistance training to cause you to grow up. A baby has to be able to stand up under his own weight in order to walk. Amen? God's teaching you to stand up on your own so you can help somebody else walk out of their hellhole. Did you get that? Spiritual growth produces or brings deliverance. Now, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Now, a yoke was used to hook up a team of oxen so that they could pull a burden. Satan's trying to get you to hook up with him. He's constantly trying to put that yoke on you. The word for anointing oil there, originally in the Hebrew, is a word that meant fat or fatness. You find that in Deuteronomy 32, 15. Again, we use God's word to interpret God's word. So Isaiah 10, 27 in the Amplified says it like this: "And it shall be in that day that the burden of the Assyrian shall depart from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck. The yoke shall be destroyed," watch, "because of the fatness which prevents it from going around your neck." God wants you to grow to the point Satan's junk don't fit you anymore. Have you ever outgrown a shirt? I have. What's funnier is when you still wear them. Like, OSHA better get in here fast because she's going to blow a button any second. Right? I mean, you're leaking all over the place. Well, it don't fit anymore. That's what God wants to do in your life. You grow so much you can't get that shirt on anymore, that dress on, or those jeans on anymore. Except it's in now to wear jeans that don't fit you. What's more funny, we're funny looking when we see people trying to do that. But you know what? There's going to come a point when you just don't fit in the stuff Satan's trying to put on you anymore. Because the more I feed on the milk of the word, the more I feed on the meat of the word, the more I feed on the bread of life, the more of his living water I drink, the more I grow and I grow and I grow until Satan's yoke of bondage no longer goes over me. His word has broken Satan's grip off my mind, off my will, and off my emotions. Now I'm not damaged. I've been made whole by the medicine of his word in the seed of my soul. And from that place proceeds everything in life. God says, guard your heart, for out of it proceed the issues of life. Amen? Jesus gave us soul food. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, am I making any sense tonight, or is this craziness? If God's word's good to you, give Jesus praise. Amen. Now, let's go back to what I started with. Damaged people make damaging decisions. Damaged people make damaging decisions. Many times, it's unintentionally. But when I see myself as damaged, then I make poor choices because I don't value myself. And Jim, anytime I don't value something, abuse sets in. Fair enough. If I don't place a high value on, actually the value I place on something determines the respect I give it. Well, when I don't value myself, Hope, then I attract other people who don't value me either. Whether you're at work or in a relationship or at church or wherever you are. Especially if you're single here tonight, you need to know you are the apple of God's eye. He's numbered the hairs of your head. You are His treasure. You better lift your head and know you're something special, and whoever comes along better treat you like that. And if they don't, you run like hell from them. Remember Grandma saying, I run like hell. Like, Grandma, we don't know what run like hell is, but okay. Get in gear, son. Damaged people make damaging decisions. So here's what happens. If I see myself as damaged and I make those kind of decisions, then other people in my life unintentionally pay the price for it. Especially if you're here and you've experienced a divorce. Just because you're divorced don't make you damaged. If I didn't say anything else tonight, I feel the power of God all over that statement. Just because you've been divorced don't make you damaged goods. Don't you let people treat you like that. Amen? Because what happens is when I see myself as damaged, then I make damaging decisions that affect generations that follow me. So let me give you some decision-making do's and don'ts, okay? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 2, these were just flying at me as I was reading it in the Renewal Fuel this week. I encourage you, if you need a plan to read in our bulletin every week, grab you one. It's in there. It's also on the app. You can find every single day we read a proverb, we read a chapter in the Gospels, and we read a chapter in the Epistles, and it will really fortify your life, and we encourage you to be a part. But here's what it says, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 2. Those who follow the right path fear the Lord. Those who take the wrong path despise Him. First thing you got to know in decision making, there are two options. There are two paths. There is a right path and there is a wrong path. God wants you to take the right one. He has not hidden it from you. He's hidden it for you. Jesus said, seek and you shall find. He wants you to come after Him. He wants to build a relationship with you. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 8 says, The prudent understand where they are going. You can understand where you're headed in life. Again, God wants you to know where you're going. He doesn't conceal it from you. He conceals it for you. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15 says, only simpletons believe everything they're told. The prudent carefully consider their steps. Remember, I told you the two greatest ways to disaster is listen to no one and listen to everyone. Don't listen to anybody and listen to everybody. You're going to be all screwed up. Be discerning. Amen? Pastor Sam has taught me every stream has something to offer. That means you got to learn how to eat the hay and spit out the sticks, or as we like to say, eat the chicken and spit out the bones. I don't eat hay. Only simpletons believe everything they're told. Proverbs 14, 16. This is where it gets good. The wise are cautious. The wise are cautious and avoid danger. When it comes to decision making, proceed with caution. There's no need to get ahead of the game. There's no need to rush into anything. Time is the great revealer. Man, that was anointed. Time is the great revealer. Now, don't go out of here saying, Pastor Josh, making pig noises in church and saying it was the Holy Spirit. Time is the great revealer. Time is on your side. Now, when I was young, I didn't ever believe that. People tell me, Woody, Rome wasn't built in a day. I said, that's because I wasn't a contractor. Time is on your side. Let me tell you something else. God is not in a hurry. He will tell you, and He'll tell you, and He'll tell you, and He'll tell you, and He'll tell you. And if you have a heart that wants to hear from Him and you're seeking Him, He knows your number and He'll get a hold of you. But when you start feeling rushed, the older generation in our family said, haste makes. When you get in a hurry, you have a hard time hearing the voice of God. Because there's a panic that takes over. There's an anxiety. There's a pressure pushing you towards, watch this, a self-imposed deadline. Who told you you have to know by then? Did God say that? What did Jesus do when the Pharisees are pushing? What are you going to do with her? Jesus, she was caught in adultery. He took His time. He knelt down. He drew in the sand. And he waited to hear the voice of the Father. And when he was ready, he got back up and moved forward. Time is on your side. The wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. Be careful. Proverbs 14, 17. This is my last one from this chapter in Proverbs. Says, short-tempered people do foolish things and schemers are hated. Short-tempered people do foolish things. In other words, we make bad decisions on emotional extremes. You see that principle there? Don't make major, important, life-altering decisions when you're at an emotional high or an emotional low. Be aware of that in your life. It's very, very important. Eating is important when it comes to making important decisions. I'm telling you the truth because your blood sugar levels, you don't think like yourself whenever you haven't eaten. True? Am I telling the truth? Me and Marcia used to go, we'd go to buy cars or whatever it was we were going to do, making major important decisions. We'd drive, you know, ramming to get there, and life was busy, schedule's busy, didn't have time to eat, and go try to buy something and hear from God. And I mean, I was more confused than a termite in a yo-yo. And what we've learned over the years is take some time, slow down. I got pulled over by a stadium in New York for doing 29 over in a 55. Yikes. Slow down, but by the grace of God, he let me go. Let me tell you, that's favor. But we went up the other day, and I sold my truck the Thursday before last. I'd had it 8 years, man. It was a sad day because I raised Anna in it. And I can still picture in my mind turning around and looking at her laying in the back seat. We'd be on a road trip, and I'd say, baby, will you take a little nap for Daddy? And she'd say, yeah, and she'd fall right to sleep. Marcia'd be like, I hate you. I can't pay the kid to go to sleep. But, I mean, I put almost 100,000 miles on it myself. And y'all know I'm a car junkie. And so God worked it out. And I replaced it last Friday. But my point is, I was smart enough to know, because we had to drive several hours away. I was smart enough to know, make sure everybody's eating before you get there. And take your time. And be patient. Be patient. Amen? And I've also learned when it comes to major decisions, I'll walk away from anything. I don't care how long I drove. I don't care what it took. I don't care what I've invested in it, because it's going to cost me a whole lot more if I run with the wrong program than switch to the right one. It might have cost me a little something in the short term, but I promise you, you're going to be in a lot more trouble if you stick with it. You know what? This is just some nuts and bolts practical stuff, but if we get these practical things down, half a supernatural is natural. Amen. Can you give God praise tonight for wisdom? Rest is another important one, isn't it, John? Rest, our sleep patterns. When we don't sleep like we ought to, we're not ourselves, are we? Like them Snickers commercials. We act like a diva. So no emotional highs or lows, because watch this. Listen to this statement. I cannot follow God when my soul is stirred up. I cannot follow God from my soul. The Bible says in Romans 8, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. That leading has got to come from in my spirit. Amen? That's why, get ready, Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division, the separating of soul, which is my, and my spirit. Isn't that interesting? I'm able to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying and shut my mind up, shut my emotions up, shut my desire to go do things my way that's constantly tugging on me. I'm able to separate those through the Word of God. It's able to help me discern what's God's voice and what's my voice. And when my soul prospers on the Word, then I have a mind that is sound. I have a mind that is peaceful. I have a mind that is at rest. I have a mind that is alert. I have a mind that is sharp and productive. I have the mind of Christ. I have emotions that abound with joy and peace and love and stability. I have a will that acts according to the word of God and not according to the world's. I have a will that says, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. I will go. I will speak. I will act. I will obey. I will pray. I will read. I will praise. I will worship. I will give. I will testify. I will shine my light for Jesus Christ. Not because I have to, but because I can't help it. Because he's transformed me now from the inside out by the incorruptible seed of his word. Stand with me tonight if you would. Say, I am not damaged in Jesus' name. Say, I am not damaged in Jesus' name. I am a child of God. I am completely whole. I love his word. I will meditate in his word. I will abide in his word. His word will abide in me. I read his word. I believe his word. I obey his word. His word works for me in my life. It is promised to me. I have an inheritance. I am wealthy. I am blessed. I am prosperous. I am successful. I am free. I am not damaged in Jesus' name. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, thank you so much for your word tonight. Thank you for revelation. And God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would seal this word into our hearts. Father, I thank you tonight because of the fatness of the anointing that your word has brought, that bondages are being broken, and now every person in this room has the tools they need to succeed every day of their lives. Father, we thank you now. Satan, we bind you, we rebuke you. You have no place in our lives. Jesus is Lord of our lives. You're not our master, and we won't give you any place. We slam the door shut on you, and we apply the blood of Jesus over our lives, spirit, soul, and body. Father, we declare Jesus is Lord over our spirit, over our soul, and over our body. We declare today that we will be a reflection of your likeness and your image in our spirit, in our soul, and in our body. Father, I thank you now. I pray for confirmation as we walk out of here that others this week before Sunday would see your light in us and they would come to it. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise and glory. And again, we declare by faith tonight, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We thank you, God, for victory. We thank you that Satan's defeated, and we thank you that you're seated on the throne. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said. Would you give Jesus praise tonight? Amen. God is good. I cannot wait to see y'all Sunday. I want to tell you the name of the message so bad, but I'm going to save it. Bring every man you know, bring every family you know, bring every young person you know, and let's just pack this place out for the glory of God. Lives are going to be transformed. Amen. God bless you. I love you. See you Sunday.